This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
I was thinking about this in a roundabout way almost exactly 24 hours ago right now. I was standing in the Lincoln Memorial in Washington. Had walked from the Washington Monument down the mall through the breathtaking World War II Memorial, which is incredibly moving, down the Tidal Basin, which is the closest Washington gets to Paris, I've been told. And it's not that close, but it's the closest. And then up the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I actually had not stood there in that spot since the spring of 1982 when I turned 16. And I was incredibly moved. And I just wanted to share this with you. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address is on the wall. And I will tell you how I got there. Because I was sitting there thinking about Albemarle County's red light cameras. And I'll tell you how I got there. It was just an amazing experience being in the Lincoln Memorial yesterday. Again, just about 24 hours ago right now. And reading the Gettysburg Address on the wall. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address on November 19th, 1863, when he was asked to dedicate the Soldiers' National Cemetery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, just a few months after the Union armies had defeated the Confederacy at the decisive Battle of Gettysburg. That moment, arguably the watershed moment, the beginning of the end for the Confederacy. It was in early July. 172,000 American soldiers clashed in the Battle of Gettysburg, a turning point in the war. The little town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which was less than 2,500 people, was left to deal with the bodies of more than 7,500 soldiers and more than 5,000 horses that lay strewn across those blood-stained fields. Lincoln was invited to come up in mid-November to dedicate the cemetery that had been created there for these thousands of soldiers. Interestingly enough, his address was not the primary oration. That was actually Edward Everett, who was the main speaker of the day and who spoke for about 2 hours. Lincoln was just asked to give the dedicatory remarks, which is one reason his remarks were so brief, just a few sentences, actually. Edward Everett was the official speaker of the day. Contrary to popular opinion, Lincoln did not write the Gettysburg Address on the back of an envelope, and he did not write it in the on the train on the way up there. There are many drafts that exist. He worked on it at the White House leading up to the event, and he was actually editing it the morning of the event before he went out to the site to deliver the address. I want to share with you the text of the Gettysburg Address. It's very short. And I was reading it yesterday on the wall at the Lincoln Memorial. But before I do, I want to share something else with you if you haven't heard this. It's amazing that we actually have audio from a man who was an eyewitness to the Gettysburg Address. William Rathbone was there as a child at the Gettysburg Address in November of 1863. And he recorded these memories in the late 1930s. 1938, the year before he died, he recorded his memories. And I want you to hear this. What you're about to hear is the audio recorded in the late 1930s, towards the end of a man's life, as he remembers back when he was a child and saw President Lincoln deliver the Gettysburg Address. William Rathbone.
Because as a schoolboy, I was in the little town of Gettysburg in Pennsylvania some 75 years ago, I am privileged to tell you today what I then heard and saw when Abraham Lincoln, the wartime president of the United States, delivered his immortal address at the dedication of the National Cemetery. When it was known that on a certain day in November, 4 months after the battle, that President Lincoln, Old Abe as we boys affectionately called him, was to be in Gettysburg, I was excused from my duties at school and accompanied my family at least to see the president and perhaps to hear what he had to say. Bright and early the next morning, I was in the center square of the town where the procession was to form for the cemetery hill where the speaking was to take place. At the head of the procession, preceded by a mounted military band, the first I had ever seen, rode the president. He was mounted on a gray horse of medium size, which accentuated his unusual height. His long legs reaching too near the ground for either grace or good horsemanship. The president was escorted to the cemetery by many distinguished officers of the army, representatives of foreign countries, military and civic organizations, and the surging crowds of patriotic citizens estimated at 20,000. After the long, eloquent oration of Honorable Edward Everett of Massachusetts, conceded to be the most finished orator of his day, Lincoln arose and, with a manner serious almost to sadness, gave his brief address that rang from the hills of Gettysburg around the world and back many times and will ever continue to reverberate in the hearts and minds of all mankind, where freedom, forgiveness, tenderness, and strength are cherished. During its delivery, with one or two other lads, I had worked my way under the platform and wiggled through the crowd in front until I stood within 15 feet of Mr. Lincoln and looked up into his serious face. A rough board platform, 4 or 5 feet high, had been built from which the president spoke. Across the front, over the rail behind which he stood, was draped the nation's flag, the Stars and Stripes. Old Glory, as the soldiers gallantly called it. Although I listened intently to every word the president uttered and heard it clearly, boy-like, I could not recall any of it afterwards. But had any of my companions spoken slightingly of it, there would have been a junior battle of Gettysburg then and there. For any hint or intimation that Old Abe, as we affectionately called him, was deficient or delinquent in any respect, would have meant a scrap. So deep-seated was our youthful loyalty. Perhaps no address of equal length has been more widely published and translated into more languages than the one I heard given by President Lincoln on that November day, 75 years ago. It will bear repetition even now, after more than 70 years and 10 have passed. It needs no eloquence, or I could not attempt to read it to you. Mr. Lincoln said, 70...
That's the recording of the only known recording of an eyewitness to the Gettysburg Address, which took place in November of 1863. The man was William Rathbone. It was recorded in 1938, shortly before his death. He was remembering when he was a child being there in Gettysburg and actually seeing President Lincoln deliver the address, which was to dedicate a new soldiers' cemetery just a few months after the historic and decisive battle of Gettysburg. Just about 24 hours ago, I was standing in the Lincoln Memorial reading these words on the wall, and I thought about you. Before I tell you why, let me share with you the Gettysburg Address. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those here, for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our power, our poor power, to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. The address of President Abraham Lincoln on November 19, 1863, as he rose for a few moments to dedicate a new soldier's cemetery on the battlefield at Gettysburg, just a few months after that battle ended. As I was reading these words 24 hours ago on the wall of the Lincoln Memorial, this is the passage that jumped out at me. It is for us, and this is the whole point of the Gettysburg Address, it is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. It is for us, the living, to be dedicated to the great task, to take increased devotion to the cause. And I ask you, as Americans, how dedicated are we? How committed are we to this great task? If we look at what we do with our lives, day to day, and add up the hours, what do we do to contribute to this great task that still remains undone? This unfinished work of this great task before us. Do we have increased devotion? Are we resolved that they shall not have died in vain? Are we making our own contributions? Or are we locked in a home to work, home to work, home to work, home to work, TV, 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 home to work, home to work, home to work? Are we stuck? And frighteningly so. The Civil War here in America was a time when neighbors were turned into enemies, when political opponents were turned into enemies. It's a very careful distinction that we must understand. There are very powerful forces in the media today that are turning your political opponents into your enemies when these are your neighbors. Now, we as Americans have enemies. We most definitely do. There are people in the world who want to see America crumble, and they want to burn it down. And we must stand together, even as political opponents, together against them. We have to be vigilant in standing against the forces in our own country who want us to turn against each other. America has always had its political opponents. It's a conversation that takes place, whether it's right, left, up, or down, however you want to describe it. It's a conversation that has been raging since Jefferson disagreed with Hamilton. That is the American way. It's a conversation that takes place. The real danger, the real threat to America is from within, from those who would have you create enemies out of your opponents. And that is what I hope, I really hope, that in these few moments we spend together in the afternoons, I hope that we can set an example of having opponents, politics or whatever, public policy, that we can disagree and not demonize each other and not create enemies where none exists, where you just have political opponents. And I am ashamed and concerned of those, even right here in our community, who work hard every day to try to convince you that your opponents are your enemies. It is a dangerous thing, and it is bad for this country. The extent to which I believe, the extent to which we make our opponents our enemies, is the extent to which these soldiers did die in vain. We must be very careful not to do that, because there is so much work that needs to be done to save this country. And we can only accomplish it together. So we have to sometimes agree to disagree, and we have to be willing to disagree without demonizing each other just because we disagree. And not to make enemies where none exist. Because in truth, right or left, we deeply care for this country, its past, and its future, and we want what's best for our children. My name is Coy Barefoot. You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. Y'all have a great night, and be good to each other.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.